Brothers and sisters, this message is pretty long and have a lot of reference verses, so we have to redeem our time. How about we read the titles all together? The Gospel, God's Salvation, and the Need for a Dispensational Transfer. There are three things. Let's read again. The Gospel, God's Salvation, and the Need for a Dispensational Transfer. Let's review the previous 10 messages. Amen. The crystallization study of GACS. First, is talk about intrinsic significance of the acts. They know the significance of the resurrection, ascension. They live by the resurrective life and the acts according to the authority and power of ascended Christ. They move in the body and for the body. They are a group of people who live and move according to the resurrected and ascended Christ. The second message about the witnesses of the Jesus' resurrection. Resurrection is the center or focus of this testimony. And about the spirit, there are two aspects, essential and economical. We need to be filled both essentially and economically. Then following that is the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. This is the crystallization of the Acts. And in the message 2, 3, and 4 are very similar to what we just had, message 10. It's about prayer, and the teaching and fellowship of the apostles and one accord. Amen. After the prayer, the earth shook. Amen. Message 5, so it's not a crystallization. It's the vision from the heavenly vision and the conversion of apostle.
Lord Jesus, Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, 叫他不要动这一个。
这是主的工作。
你听听看。
一道理，一个。
Lord Jesus, Amen. Okay.
Stream.
The stream is for the spreading of the churches, so we have to keep ourselves in the stream. And message 10, the way for God's move. This is God's ordained way. Because this is God's move. Prayer, the Spirit, and the Word of God. We keep ourselves in the stream. We keep us in this one way for God's move. Week 11, now we bring to this goal. What is our goal? What is the goal of God's move? It is the gospel and brings in God's salvation. And for a dispensational transfer, the gospel, The gospel, the content of gospel is Christ. Jesus Christ is the content of the gospel. In the Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, gospel came. This gospel was manifested through the word. And when we receive this gospel, it becomes God's salvation. And this gospel is complete gospel, and the salvation is the full salvation. This gospel received by us became the salvation. The purpose is to bring us into a dispensational transfer, because God has eternal economy. In this, in his economy, they have many dispensations. Amen. If we cannot go on in the dispensation, if we stay in the old dispensation, then we cannot reach where the God wants us to attain. If we stay in the Old Testament, then we cannot enter into the age of New Testament, which is the age of grace. The next generation will be the age of kingdom. We also need to enter that age. Today we need to know the gospel, to receive God's salvation, and bring in a dispensational transfer. And the message 12 will be the last crystal. It's the continuation of the book of Acts. The corporate continuation of Christ. If we can all follow the preceding 11 messages, then we can become the corporate continuation of Christ. This message is very rich and also very high message. There are 230 plus reference verses. So we need to spend time to get into it. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the Roman numeral number 1. On the title shows three things. The gospel, which is the Roman numeral number 1. Second is God's salvation, is Roman numeral 2. And the need for a dispensational transfer is the Roman numeral number 3. That's very clear. Let's read the Roman numeral number 2, number 1, sorry. The gospel preached in Acts is the complete gospel. The gospel of Jesus as the Christ. The word as the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the name of Jesus Christ. The gospel of peace. The Lord Jesus as the gospel. The gospel of the promise made to the fathers. Jesus and the resurrection as the gospel. And the gospel of the grace of God. This is according to the sequence in the Acts. It shows us what is gospel. We see that in Acts 5:32. It says the gospel of Jesus as Christ. And he saw the Son of Man is Christ. And Acts 8:4 is word as gospel. And 8:12 is gospel of kingdom of God. Acts 10:36 is the gospel of peace. And Acts 8:35 is Lord Jesus as gospel. Acts 13:32 is promise made to the fathers. And this, Acts 17:18, Jesus and resurrection as gospel. And Acts 20:24 is the gospel of the grace of God. So this is the items of gospel. And gospel is complete gospel. It's God's word and word of God and the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, peace, Jesus Christ. So the content of gospel is Jesus Christ himself. So on the Roman number 1, how about let's pray read Roman number 1, 2 by 2s.
好,
Okay, brothers and sisters. There is a verse that is not listed here, but was Mark 1:1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the center of gospel is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. When He came, is the beginning of the gospel. There are also many points talking about what is gospel. Let's read point A. We need to learn from Philip's preaching of the gospel in Acts 8. Point 1, brothers. Philip preached Christ as the gospel, as the good news. Sister 2. Philip also preached the kingdom of God as the gospel, just as the Lord Jesus had done. Altogether, 3. Like Philip, we should preach the gospel, that is Jesus Christ, and also the kingdom of God, preaching Jesus Christ as the kingdom of God. Point B, altogether. The conversion of Saul shows that the name of Jesus itself is an adequate gospel. Point C, together. In our gospel preaching, we should proclaim both the person of Christ and the work of Christ. Together, the gospel preached by Peter comprises the divine blessings, not only of forgiveness and salvation, but also of the Spirit and the life. Forgiveness deals with people's sin, and life with people's death. Point E, in Athens, Paul was announcing Jesus and resurrection as the gospel. Point one, brothers, Paul's preaching was a strong indication that he had been constituted with the all-inclusive Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Two, sister, whether or not we have power in preaching the gospel depends on our being, our person. If we would have power in our preaching, we need to be constituted with the all-inclusive Christ as Paul was. That's Roman number 1. It's regarding gospel, regarding the complete gospel. We have 9 aspects. It's about gospel of Jesus as Christ, the word as gospel, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the name of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace, the Lord Jesus as gospel, the gospel of the promise made to the fathers, altogether 9 aspects. And the many points we just read is about the content of the gospel. The Philip's preaching of the gospel is preaching Christ as the gospel. And second point, Philip also preached the kingdom of God as gospel. In Acts 8:5, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and complained the Christ to them. So verse 12, but when they believed Philip, who announced the gospel of the kingdom of God and of the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Mark 1:14. And it's proclaiming the gospel of God. It says, the kingdom of God was drawn near. Luke 4:43 also announced the gospel of the kingdom of God. So in this preaching, one is to preach the Jesus Christ as gospel, also preach the kingdom of God as gospel. So when preaching Jesus Christ is preaching the person of Christ. And when you were preaching the gospel of kingdom of God, is you're talking about the reigning, amen, of Christ. And point B, the conversion of Saul shows that the name of Jesus itself is an adequate gospel. Acts 9:4, it says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? 9:5, and he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Jesus, the name of Jesus itself is gospel. The name of Jesus means that Jehovah God Savior, or Jehovah God the salvation. He is the Saint of Christ. He is the head of body.
is the life-giving spirit dispensed into the disciples. So the name of Jesus itself is very rich. So the name of Jesus itself is a gospel. Calling on the name of the Lord means we believe in this name. So, the Lord in Saul is Jehovah. When the Lord spoke to Saul, he spoke in Hebrews. And why he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. So here you see a transfer of the dispensation. Today, the one you serve and believe is Jesus Christ. So point B shows us the name of Jesus is gospel. Point C also talk about Saul. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in synagogues that this one is the Son of God. When you Son of God refers to the person of Jesus. And Acts 9:22, and he confounded the Jews dwelling in Damascus by proving that this one is the Christ. And Christ refers to Jesus' work. It's Jesus Christ's work. And when you talk about Jesus, it indicates it's this one is the one of is God became man, and his work is to make man God. Peter, the gospel preached by Peter comprises the divine blessing, our portion. And the portion includes forgiveness, salvation, the spirit, and life. Forgiveness deal with people's sin. And life deal with people's death. Forgiveness is judicial. And the life is organic salvation. So the gospel preached by Peter includes forgiveness, salvation, spirit, and life. So that we can be saved under the curse of the law. This is our judicial aspect of salvation. And also, he gives us life for our organic salvation. In Acts 5:31, this one God has exalted to his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. There are many verses under this point. Yeah. Another. Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, repent and each one of you be baptized unto the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this Holy Spirit also the life-giving spirit. To receive the Holy Spirit also means receive life. First John 3:14 is we have passed out of death into life. Paul announced Jesus in Athens. He that's the resurrection as gospel. Paul's preaching the gospel constituted with all-inclusive Christ and the resurrection. Philippians 3:10, to know him and the power of his resurrection. So he knows. He know and also constituted. So Paul was constituted with an all-inclusive Christ and his resurrection. Point two. Whether or not we have power in preaching the gospel depends on our being, our person.
If we would have power in our preaching, we need to be constituted. Be constituted with the all-inclusive Christ, as Paul was. We need to be constituted with the resurrection power, too. So, our preaching is not depends on the utterance, not depends on eloquence, but depends on our being, our person. Point one is emphasis in the truth, and point two emphasis the aspect of life. Depends on our being. We need to be constituted. Need to be constituted as a gospel preaching person. Here, this Roman number 1 shows us what gospel is. The gospel is Jesus Christ Himself. The center of the gospel is Jesus Christ. So, now Roman number 2, let's read it together. According to the record in the book of Acts, God's salvation includes the Savior, repentance, faith, forgiveness, justification, and eternal life. We see God's salvation. Here, the verses is not according to the sequence of the verses. There are 6 aspects. First is Savior. Second, repentance. Third, faith. Fourth, forgiveness. The fifth, justification. Sixth, the eternal life. How about we pray read this Roman number 2, 2 by 2. Amen. Are we all memorized? There's 6 aspects includes Savior, repentance, faith, forgiveness, justification, eternal life. Saints, we need to tell others that we are saved. How is our salvation? As this 6 items. So, after this message, we know what is gospel. Gospel is not just have healthy body, it's not just have wealthy family, but it's Jesus Christ Himself. According to the Word of God, it is the kingdom of God, it's grace. It's all related to Jesus Christ. How about salvation? Salvation is Savior, repentance, faith, forgiveness, justification, and eternal life. Let's read point A together. Redemption is what Christ accomplished on the cross, and the salvation is the application of this accomplished redemption to us. Redemption and salvation. The point A actually shows us what is salvation. Salvation is the application of redemption to us. Redemption is what Christ accomplished on the cross. So the point here is that when Christ accomplished redemption, and that also is that means also the salvation is available to us. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. As we were being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Justification. Because of His redemption, we receive the salvation. The Hebrews 2:3. He became the source of eternal salvation. That's Hebrew 5:9. He is the source of eternal salvation. Let's see what is the relationship between the redemption and salvation. Point B, from David's seed, God brought forth a Savior, Jesus. With Him there is salvation. With Him there is salvation. When we read Hebrews 5:9, there he says, He is the source of eternal salvation. There's another important verse, is Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. It's through our Jesus Christ we receive the salvation. It's through Jesus Christ we receive our salvation. Acts 13:23, from this man's seed, God, according to promise, brought to Israel a Savior Jesus. And talk about He is Savior. The first point is He accomplished redemption and prepared salvation for us. And point B says He is our Savior. Point C, as the leader, the ruler, and the Savior, the Lord is ruling the earth for the purpose of our salvation. Brother, first point. The Lord Jesus is ruling so that we may be saved, and now the Savior Himself is our salvation. Sister 2. Okay, there's a point, small a. Brother, read small a. Repentance is for forgiveness of sins. Sister, point one. On God's side, forgiveness of sins is based on redemption of Christ, which was accomplished through His death. Brother, two. On man's side, forgiveness of sins is through man's repentance. B, point B, that together. Forgiveness of sins is the initial and the basic blessing of God's full salvation. Based on forgiveness, the blessing of God's full salvation goes forward and consummates in the receiving of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This point covers a lot. It's more complicated. Let's take a look. Point A means when He accomplished the redemption, He prepared the salvation for us. And point B, not only Jesus Christ accomplished redemption and prepared salvation, and in order for us to receive this salvation, He now is the leader, the ruler. So He is ruling the earth for the purpose of our salvation, so that we may receive the salvation. So God really loves us. Not only He died for us to accomplish redemption, He also came to bring the salvation to us. And also He prepared, He rules everything so that we may receive the salvation. So this is God's love. Acts 5:31, this one, God has exalted to His right hand. What does right hand mean? Right hand means throne, means ruling. Amen. As leader and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Point one. The Lord Jesus is ruling so that we may be saved. And now the Savior Himself is our salvation. He Himself, the Savior Himself, is our salvation. Salvation is something, is something beside of Jesus Christ. Salvation is Jesus Christ Himself, not something else. Amen. This is an old prophet's prayer. To see your salvation. This is Luke 2:30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. What he saw is actually Jesus, the baby Jesus. Luke 19:9. And Jesus said to him in Jericho, in this tax collector, Zacchaeus. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. He didn't say Jesus come to this house, but salvation has come to this house. The point two, Acts 5:31, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We thought that repentance is ours, that we repented. But here, it shows that even the repentance was given to us. If the repentance didn't given to us, we won't repent. So, the small point A, the repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Amen. He rules everything so that we may receive the repentance. Repentance is forgiveness of sins. Luke 24:47, it says here that the people, amen, will, it says the repentance for forgiveness of sins. Amen. And on God's side, forgiveness of sins is based on redemption of Christ. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses, according to the riches of his grace. How could our sins be forgiven? It's because his blood, through his blood. Amen. On man's side, forgiveness of sins is through man's repentance. Small b, forgiveness of sins is the initial and the basic blessing. The first blessing that God gave us is forgiveness of sins. Amen. Based on forgiveness, blessed on God's for salvation goes forward and consummates in receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we repent, we receive forgiveness. When we were forgiven, we receive, then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 is very important. And Peter said to them, repent, and each one of you be baptized upon the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This verse is a very important verse. We have to repent. Repent so that our sins may be forgiven. When our sins was forgiven, then we will receive the gift. Was the gift of the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit was the blessing promised to Abraham by God. Amen. This is point C. Now, point D. We are saved by grace, which includes Christ's person and redemptive work. Here is talk about redemptive work. And Christ's person constitutes the salvation. He says, we are saved by grace. Here, we were saved because of the grace. Acts 11:23, who, when he arrived and saw the grace of God, rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain with the Lord with purpose of heart. With the Lord means his person. Means you with the Lord not just once but always. Amen. This is refers to the person of Christ. Romans 3:24 refers to Christ's work, being justified free by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. On the person aspect is with the Lord. The point D talk about
the contents of salvation, includes Christ's person and redemptive work. Point E. In this one, everyone who believes is justified. It's in this one. Amen. It's in this one. In this one, everyone who believes is justified. It's not depend on anything else, but depend on this one. In this one. Point one, sister. And it is for our release from condemnation. To be justified is on the positive side, and is for our reconciliation to God and our being accepted by Him. Brother two. This one in Acts 13:39 is the one who has been resurrected to God's firstborn Son, our Savior. Point three altogether. The one by whom we are forgiven and in whom we are justified is Himself, our forgiveness and justification. The resurrected Christ is our forgiveness and justification.
Amen.
In point C, especially talk about forgiveness of sins. Here, talk about justification. All those who believe are justified. The forgiveness of sin is negative. But also need the positive side. We need to be justified and reconciled to God. To be justified, to be reconciled to God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified out of faith, we have peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are not justified by God, we are enemies of God. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but also boasting God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Not only we have peace, but also we are reconciled to God. Point two, this one, in this one, in Acts 13:39, it says, Amen. In this one, everyone who believes is justified. Amen. And this is also written in the second Psalm, You are my son, this day have I begotten you. Let's talk about that Jesus Christ was born as the firstborn son in his resurrection. If we read in the Old Testament, okay, you can check Hebrews 1:5. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will be his father, and he will be my son. That's in Hebrew. In Hebrews 1:5.
He will be a son to me.
Amen. He will be a son to me. It's Hebrews 1:5. And he talked about to be my son is to be a son to me, is in Hebrew. I would not say as a daughter of mine. A daughter of mine because why he mentioned A, because it's many, so he has to use A. Like a brother Isaac, he has two daughters, so when he mentioned, so he had to mention A. The son. That means God has many sons. That means God has many sons. This word indicates God has many sons. This one is the one who resurrected and to be the firstborn son of God. Amen. Point three. Resurrected Christ is our forgiveness and justification. Amen. Here, Acts 13:33. Amen. In
39,
in this one, everyone who believes is justified. Amen. In Old Testament, you have to obey the law, but in Testament, it's by believing. Justification is by believing. Point F. God's salvation is by faith, by believing. And in God's salvation, we experience the cleansing of our hearts by faith. This cleansing is by the Holy Spirit with the divine life. In this point, we can clearly see that salvation is by faith. All salvation was given by God. Even the faith is given by God. Amen. The forgiveness, the repentance, justification, even faith is given by God. All given by God. And by faith, by believing, we experience the cleansing. The cleansing is done by the Holy Spirit with the divine life. Acts 8:37, it says, believe from all your hearts. The Philip said, if you believe from all your hearts, you have to believe with all your hearts, wholeheartedly receive. And Acts 15:9, it says, cleansing their hearts by faith. By faith, we experience the cleansing. By faith, our hearts was cleansed. And we receive the salvation. Point G. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed. That means all who believe receive the eternal life. And there are 2 points under this G. Whether we receive the eternal life. Some would say this is God's choosing. No, there's a two aspects of this appointed. There's aspects of God's side and aspects of our side. Once rejecting the gospel is evidence that he is unworthy of eternal life. Once believing is proof that he was appointed or ordained by God to eternal life. Point two, sister. This is very important truth. God's desired all men to be saved. So he desires to give this faith to everyone, but not everyone wants to receive the faith. So the point one says, once rejecting the gospel is evidence that he is unworthy of eternal life. Once believing is proof that he was appointed or ordained by God to eternal life. And Acts 13:46, and Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly and said, it was necessary for the word of God to be spoken to you first, since you thrust us away and do not judge yourselves worthy of eternal life. Who judge this? Who judge? It's men. You're rejecting. Judge yourself. Not worthy. Amen. It's not God judge, but you. You judge by rejecting. You judge yourself unworthy by rejecting. This is a very important verse. Point two, God's ordination or predestination for man's salvation is sovereignty of himself, but he still leaves man to his own free will. Whether man would believe or reject his salvation is up to man's own decision. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we ought to thank God always concerning you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God chose you. So God chose. through from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and believe of the truth. So our believing is very important. Though God chose us, He chose us and also sanctified through the Spirit, but still it depends on our believing. Acts 8:37, and Philip said, if you believe, if you, that means may or may not. And Acts 16:31 is believe. If believe, amen. It's if, it's a believe. Thus shows us we have the free will. We can freely to choose. We have the choice. Okay, this is Roman number 2. Let's review Roman number 2. The 2 is talks about God's salvation. 6 items. Savior, repentance, faith, forgiveness, justification, and eternal life. There's a start in here. The salvation was accomplished by our Savior. He accomplished repentance, makes ready for us to receive. And because of repentance, our sins was forgiven by our faith. And once we are forgiven of sins, we were justified. Or we were reconciled to God, and we receive eternal life. So this is God's salvation. So this sequence is a sequence according to the doctrine. This is the point A tells us redemption was accomplished through Christ's death. And this salvation is our receiving of redemption. It's application of this redemption. Point B, that He is the Savior. Amen. And point C, talk about forgiveness. Christ as the leader, the ruler, and the Savior. The Lord is ruling the earth for the purpose of our salvation. So He makes all things work together for our salvation, for us to receive the repentance, forgiveness, and also His eternal life. And the content of the salvation includes Christ's person and redemptive work. And it also including the judicial and organic salvation. Point E. In this one, everyone who believes is justified. Not only we were our sins were forgiven negatively, but we also were justified on the positive side. We justified through Him, by Him. Amen. In the New Testament, we were justified through Him, this one. Not only depends on His sovereign, but also depends on our believing. Amen. And by faith, we also receive the cleansing of our heart, the cleansing of our by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And also receive eternal life. How about let's speak the Roman number 2 with our own words. Let's speak with our own words. Roman number 2. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks the Lord.
我们需要这两篇，这两个大点来。We
need to be constituted with those two Roman number points. Our past knowledge about gospel may not be so in the central land. He prepared salvation, and how man can receive the salvation, the eternal life. And the end of Roman number 2, it did not end there. Amen. That this eternal life will continue to grow in us for the building up. So we need the Roman number 3. Roman 3 is very rich and deep. Let's read it. The book of Acts portrays the need of a dispensational transfer in order to be brought fully into God's New Testament economy. What he mentioned here, mentioned the dispensational transfer. One is dispensation, one is transfer. In the New Testament economy, we need a dispensational transfer. We need to know there are many dispensations of God. And if you open up your recovery version, recovery New Testament, and in the book of Matthew, page
28,
there's many circles. And he says, is the kingdom of heavens and the kingdom of God. New Testament conversion. God has an eternal plan. To accomplish his eternal plan, there are steps. Each step is a dispensation. Those hidden in ages now has been revealed to us. Amen. The first circle is the eternity without beginning. There's no time, so this is not a dispensation. The last circle is also the eternity without ending. It's the first one is without beginning, and the last one is without ending. This is the eternity without ending. In the future, it is also not in time. So those two circles are not counting as the God's dispensation. Then there are also other four circles. The number one circle is the Father's dispensation of before law. The dispensation before law. The Father's from Adam to Moses was called the dispensation before law. The next is from Moses to Christ. This age was called dispensation of law. When we say Old Testament, it's referred to this dispensation, this age. Then when Jesus came, is the dispensation of grace. It's also called the age of grace. Amen. He came with reality and grace. When Jesus came, the grace came. So this is also the age of the church. There are many circles. The outer, the innermost circle is the overcoming believers. Which age are we in this age? But there's another age. It's the dispensation of the kingdom. This is the millennium kingdom. We have to know there are dispensations. No, they are not always the same dispensation. This is like a many, many acts. Amen. In different dispensation, he accomplished different things. We need to know this. In Acts, in the beginning of Acts, which dispensation were they in? They're already in the dispensation of age. But many just turned, but not very clear. Because they were in Judaism, in the Old Testament, in the old dispensation. Now there's a term, but they are not used to this. In the Acts chapter 1, that Jesus Christ talk to them about the kingdom of God for 30 days. And after that, even though Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, but they still understand as the kingdom of Israel. They are still not very clear. They still thought that Jesus Christ came to rescue them out of the suppression of Roman Empire. But we need to understand, we need to know now we are in the dispensation of age. Even now we are at the very end of the dispensation of grace. We have to know there are different dispensations, so we need to prepare for the coming dispensation. If we did not prepare ourselves, then we will be caught in a sudden, and we are not prepared for it. We need to be brought fully into the God's New Testament economy. There are two verses we need to read one. Romans 10:4 is the conclusion of laws as Christ. The conclusion of laws as Christ. That means when Christ came, the age or dispensation of law is ended. In John 1:17, there says the law came through Moses, but grace and reality came with Jesus. There are two dispensations. One is dispensation of law given by Moses, but the dispensation of grace is came through Jesus Christ. It's not given, but came through Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came the grace and reality. Let's read to point A. Dispensation denotes the divine arrangement in God's eternal economy. So dispensation denotes an arrangement, a God's arrangement. Point B. Acts is not merely concerned with acts, but with God's economy and God's arrangement in His economy. His arrangement, God's. Let's take a look at the reference verses, Acts 1a. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is an arrangement. And Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to him, go, for this man is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before both Gentiles and kingdoms and the sons of Israel. This is also an arrangement by God. Acts 9:17, and Ananias went away and entered the house and said to Paul that the Lord has sent me. So this is an arrangement. And point two, and point B, not only we saw the God's acts, but also we saw God's economy. The acts is what is visible, as we can see, but economy is hard to see. It's invisible. Amen. The Ananias went. It's not because he want to go himself, but it's an arrangement by God. Point C. Acts is a dispensational book because it describes a great transfer that was to be accomplished during a time of transition. The transfer from the Old Testament economy to the New Testament economy. This is a very important sentence. Here he describes a great transfer was about to be accomplished. It's a transition, a transfer from the Old Testament economy to the New Testament economy. Acts 15, verse 7 through 11. Let's read it. This is a very important passage. And when much discussion had taken place, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men, brothers, you know that from the early days God chose from among you that through my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, the knower of hearts, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as also to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Therefore, why are you now testing God by placing a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus, we are saved in the same way also as they are." Through our PSRP, and many times I have feeling the Word of God is really awesome. Before, when I read this passage, I just feel that there are some facts, some common facts. But actually, it reveals very deep things. Because Word is God. And God is awesome. So is the God's Word. In these five verses, each verse, you can see the dispensational transfer. In seven, it says, Peter rose up. It says, "Brothers," those brothers Jews, "you know that from the early days God chose from among you that through my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe." This talk about the transfer from the Old Testament coming to the New Testament economy. New Testament economy is for all the people. The Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. This belief is a very important word in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's to behave. In the New Testament, is believe. In verse 8, is believe. And giving them the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, there's no such thing as giving the Holy Spirit. Here you can see the transfer from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Amen. To bring the Jews and Gentiles all together into one. Verse 9. And cleansing their hearts by faith, not to do the law. In the Old Testament, there's a distinction between the Jews and Gentiles, but now in the New Testament, there's no distinction between the Gentiles and Jews. Verse 10, here says, "Why are you now testing God by placing a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" What is the yoke? This yoke is to keeping the law. Keeping the law is the yoke mentioned here. Why are you placing such a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our father nor we were able to bear? This is testing God. Verse 11. We believe we are saved. It is through the grace of Lord Jesus. Because here you saw the grace of Lord Jesus. The grace belongs to New Testament economy. All these verses talk about the transfer from the Old Testament to New Testament. There we have two small points. Brother, point one. To speak of a dispensational transfer in Acts means that in this book we see the need for a greater turn from the old dispensation to the new. Sister Chu, in Acts we can see God's move for his New Testament economy and all the crucial dispensational turning points related to this move. And these two points enhance the turning. Stress the turning. Says we need a great turn from the old dispensation to the new. Acts 14:1. And in Iconium, they entered together into the synagogues of the Jews and spoke in such a way that a great multitude of both Jews and Greeks believed. Because in the Old Testament, there's the Jews and Greeks, they do not contact each other. But here, you see them together. In verse 2, but the Jews who were disobedient throughout the all affected the minds of the Gentiles against the brothers. But now you can see. So why the Jews, they stir up the Gentiles? It's interesting. When against God, Jews and Gentiles are also become one. When they try to stone Stephen, they are all doing one accord. And when people against God, they have become one accord. So we know 14:1 talk about the believers, and 14:2 talk about unbelievers, unbelieving, brings in the disobedient. So here you see a great turn, and here you see some Jews and Greeks believe, and also some Jews and Greeks unbelieve. So there is no distinction between Jews and Gentiles, but there's now you can see the distinction between believe and unbelieve. Acts 10:45, and the believers who were of the circumcision, as many as had accompanied Peter, were amazed. Here those from Jerusalem, and they still kept in the law. Because on the Gentile also the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. So they were amazed. They were amazed, but never thought there's a transition of this dispensation. It's hard for them and to believe this, to accept this fact. So Acts is a dispensational book, because it describes a great transfer. Amen. Point D. The old dispensation was the dispensation of the law and of the temple, and the new dispensation is the dispensation of Christ as the law of life and as the living temple. Between the two dispensations, there was a transitional period in which God was transferring his chosen people from the old dispensation to the new. This transition was very clear in two things. One is law, another one is temple. In the New Testament now, Jesus Christ is the living temple. And the old dispensation, both law and temple are not related to life. But in New Testament, the new law is was written into our heart, and the temple is not lifeless temple, but Christ as our temple. So one has life, does not have life. So from we have to turn from the law of the temple into the life and the living temple. Law of life and the living temple. And Acts 6:14 is that this Jesus Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the custom which Moses delivered to us. 7:48. And Romans 8:2 is the law of the spirit of life. Ephesians 2:21. In whom all building, amen, being fitted together is growing into a holy temple. So here is the holy temple is growing. No, it's growing into a holy temple. So it's a living temple. Ephesians 2:22. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. In you also are being built. That means we are also part of this building. Amen. There's two other verses you can read. There's a John, book of John, chapter 2, 19 through 21. And Jesus says, you destroy this temple. I will build it up in 3 days. It says, Jesus answered, said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. In verse 21, but he spoke of the temple of his body. This is a living temple. Here you can see that Jesus is turning the temple, the lifeless temple, into the living temple, his own body. Amen. Point E. God in his New Testament economy had delivered and separated Jews, believers in Christ, from the Jewish nation. Thus, the Jewish believer as the church of God should be as distinct and separate from the Jews as from the Gentiles. Amen. Now, there's only distinction between belief and unbelief. 1 Corinthians 10:32, do not become a stumbling block both to Jews and to Greek and to the church of God. Amen. This verse tells us in three aspects. When Paul sees people, there are three categories. One is Greeks, one is Jews, and church of God. In New Testament economy, there's no distinction between Jews and Gentiles. It's only have distinction between belief and unbelief. Now today we need to be in the New Testament economy. The Jews believe, the Jew believe cannot say that they are Jew believer. They are the church of God. Same as us. Amen. Point F. According to Luke's narration, in Acts, the church among the Jews, including the early apostles, did not pass through this transition successfully due to the influence of their Judaic background. This is an important fact we need to know. Acts 11:2. And when Peter went up to Jerusalem, Peter went to a house of Galenius, the church of the Gentiles begins. When he came back to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision disputed with him. Let's also see Acts 11:18. And when they heard these things, they became silent and glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has given repentance unto life.
Yeah.
So he didn't say hallelujah, praise the Lord, he just said then. That means he barely accepted this effects. Then. Amen. They should be excited, saying glorious. They should be very excited, but they are not. They just say then to the Gentiles. If we were there, we would say hallelujah. The kingdom of God has spread over there. So this is not that willing to admit. And Acts 15:1, and certain men came down from Judea and began to teach the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. This is against the truth. Amen. This is kind of turning back to the Old Testament. Acts 15:21. For Moses from ancient generation has in every city those who proclaim him in the synagogues. He been very every Sabbath. And Moses they still mentioned the Sabbath. They mentioned the Lord's Day. Where it was proclaimed, it's in the synagogues, not from house to house. So that shows that it's still in the Old Testament. Amen. Point G, James, the elders in Jerusalem, and thousands of Jewish believers still remain in the mixture of the Christian faith with the Mosaic law. Sister 1, they were not aware that the dispensation of the law was over. and that the dispensation of grace should be fully honored, and that any discard of the distinction between these two dispensations would be contrary to God's economical plan for the building. Brother 2, the Jewish believers in Jerusalem had formed a religious mixture of God's New Testament economy with the Old Testament dispensation, and they even insisted on putting together both faith in Christ and out-of-date things of the Old Testament. Three together. Amen.
雅各和耶路撒冷众长老。James
and elders in Jerusalem still stay in the old in the Old Testament and the New Testament mixture. They enter into the New Testament, but they are not willing to give up the Old Testament. So that creates the mixture. Amen. If they heard the report of God's move in the Gentiles' world, they should give glory to God, but they give a bet. But, it says, but they are all jealous about the law. Here you see the mixture. Amen. Verse 24, Acts 21:24. Amen. And they will all know that there is nothing to the things that they have been informed of concerning you, but that you yourself also walk orderly, keeping the law. So James warned Paul to behave like Paul was keeping the law. Amen. This is a this hypocrisy. Amen. Point one. They didn't know that old dispensation is already over. That any discard of the distinguish between this two dispensation would be contrary to God's economical plan. If we discard the transition of dispensation, we were against God's economy. Amen. Romans 10:4. It's a very important verse. For Christ is the end of the law. Galatians 2. Amen. Galatians 3:23. But before faith came, the faith is the New Testament economy. We were guarded under law. But when, verse 25, but since faith has come, we are no longer under a child conduct. This tells us we need have a turn. Before, as in the Old Testament, now we need to turn to the New Testament. Amen. And point two, if you do not turn, then you form a mixture, religious mixture. In Revelation, chapter 3, about the church in Laodicea, it's lukewarm. The law rebukes them about their lukewarm. If we're lukewarm, we do not know that we are wrong. So this is a mixture. Deceive people. Amen. I remember in the previous message about one stream. The one stream. If you are not in the center of the stream, though you are kind in the stream, but you are actually in a swamp and not in the stream. Amen. So they, the God, want to end their end this mixture in Matthew 22:7, and the king became angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. The mixture was not only erroneous, but also abominable in the eyes of God. Amen. So this is a very serious matter. Point H. The Lord carried out a complete dispensational transfer with Paul in four crucial epistles concerning his transfer. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Hebrews. There is no ground remaining for any kind of mixture. There is room only for Christ. Even though there are some failure, even there are the failures of James, but there also the successful testimony of Paul, especially about the four epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Hebrews. So those verses are all being quoted out of those four epistles. Philippians 3:9 all talk about Christ. And Ephesians 3:21 in church and also in Christ, all talk about Christ. And in Philippians 3:9, it says, and I also count all things to be lost on account of the excellency of knowledge of Christ. Amen. And also count them as refuse that I may gain Christ. Amen. And also Philippians 3:11 is to know the power, know Him. Let's all talk about Christ. Colossians 3:11 about the new man cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, but Christ is all and in all. Also in Hebrews, all in this quoted verses all talk about Christ. Amen. He is the more excellent. Amen. Let's Roman numeral number 9. Let's read number 9 together. We need to know God's New Testament economy and have a dispensational transfer. This is, we need to know. This is important. How about we pray read these 3 points, 2x2s.
Amen.
Thanks, Lord. It's too rich, so we only have a limited time. Point I, this is very important. This is should be our today's practice. We need to know God's New Testament economy and have a dispensational transfer. One is the accomplishment of New Testament economy and a dispensational transfer. 1 Timothy 1:4 talk about God's economy, which is in faith. Christ become our faith. Ephesians 1:10, unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to have all things in Christ. Amen. To have all things in Christ. Now we haven't seen this, but at the fullness of the times, Christ will head up all things. During this time, church is the first to be headed up by Christ. Our heading up by Christ will lead all things to be headed up by Christ. Time is a fullness of time. Ephesians 3:8-11 talk about the economy. Amen. It's in order now to the rulers and authorities in the heavens, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church. What is this? This is the economy of God. This is eternal will. Point one. What is New Testament economy? Here is a semicolon. In the first half is about the New Testament economy. The second half is about the dispensational transfer. Amen. To the God's economy is to, in order that Christ may have a body on earth for his expression. Then he will bring his kingdom. Amen. In and following, and that there will be the ultimate consummation of God's New Testament economy. In Acts 4:33. Amen. So, Ephesians 3:14-17 talk about church. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom every family in the heavens and on earth is named. Family in the, what is namely on earth is all the races. 17, verse 17, that Christ may make his home in your heart through faith. Christ wants to make home in our hearts. This is church. Ephesians 4:16 is about a body, all the body. Chapter 3 talk about church. Chapter 4 talk about body. Revelation 11 talk about the kingdom. Amen. Now the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. And chapter 21 is talk about a new heaven and new earth.
Yes.
And we see the ultimate consummation of the New Testament economy. The New Testament economy was accomplished step by step and eventually will be the New Jerusalem. And point two, we need to see the vision. We need to see the vision of God's eternal economy and have a dispensational transfer so that we may live a life fully according to and for God's New Testament economy. If we do not believe resurrection, if we do not prepare and to be the wise virgin, then we do not see the vision of God's eternal economy. Amen. If we see the vision of God's eternal economy, then we need to live a life fully according to and for God's New Testament economy. Point three, the way to keep ourselves in this dispensational transfer is to remain faithful to the vision of God's New Testament economy. If we live according to the vision and keep ourselves in this dispensational transfer, is to remain faithful. If the dispensation turn into the kingdom, millennium kingdom, and we are not in this transition, then we were in the darkness. So don't leave this transfer. Amen. This measure too rich and too high. May we all know this vision and that we live according to it, so that we become this continuation of Book of Acts. While we were preparing for this PSRP, I received a lot that I didn't see before. The word of God is awful. Amen. Awesome. Day one is important. This is about gospel. Day one, week 11, day one. About resurrection. Day 2, Acts 5:31. Amen. To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness. This talk about salvation. Day 3, Acts 13:38-39. It's about the forgiveness, justification. And in this one,
And he resurrected and became the firstborn son of God. In this one, everyone who believes is justified. And day 5, Romans 10:4, the end of the law, amen, the end of law is Christ. Christ is the end of law. This is the transition of the dispensation. Today, we want to believe and we were justified. Day 6, Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God. If we do not turn, then we nullify the grace of God. The end of law is Christ. Our justification is not by keeping the law, but by believing. Even though we passed 5:30, we can still have some sharing. This message really excites me.